The views, ideas, and content of Well Seekers and their guests are their own opinions, and you should always seek additional professional help around any of the issues discussed here on Well Seekers.
Hello and welcome to Well Seekers, where we are helping you rise and come back to a mind and life where you can live bright, peaceful, and well. My name's Lucia. The purpose of Well Seekers and of the show, if this is your first time joining us, is really to help you love yourself and others and your life more well from the mind down, taking a holistic approach. We're in the middle of a 5 to 6 part series, giving myself some flexibility and to everyone watching and listening a little bit of flexibility because there's a guest that I really wanted to have on and waiting to hear if he can come on to be our 6th guest of the series. But if you have joined us in the past for the last 2 episodes, you know that we had my good friend and colleague, Dr. Danica Harris, the Empowered Therapist, on talking about how do we cope during this time of crisis and challenge, and some of the ways to help with this specific mental health aspect. Last week, we talked to Dr. Chelsea Page. Well Seekers has another sister show called Lucia at Night, which is all relationships, relationship with yourself, relationship with other people. So Lucia at Night did a special episode around how to cope with the people that you're living with currently in this time of close quarters, quarantine, stay-at-home orders, all of the above. How do we nourish ourselves and love ourselves and the people around us as well during this challenging time? I know for myself, I'm at home. This is not our normal studio. If you are someone who watches and doesn't listen to the show, this is my actual home studio, or office. So thanks for being with us here and having flexibility around that. Just the different changes that happen, not in studio, right? Like not the normal background. Everything is a little bit different and everyone has got to give themselves, I like to say, a little space and a little grace right now. Because this is absolutely historic times for our world and for all of us as families, as communities, and individually. On today's show, I'm so happy to welcome back a friend of the show, Rachel. Rachel is going to come on and talk about the connection between food and mood during this time. She is a holistic nutritionist. And if you've been a fan of the show, you've probably heard her on the show before. If you're a fan of the show, you also know that I am absolutely a big believer in holistic aspects of mental, emotional health and how that saying, trust your gut. The reason that people say trust your gut is because there's more neurons in your gut communicating with your brain than anywhere else in your body. So what we're putting in our gut, the food, the beverages, how much water we're drinking, all absolutely affects our mental health. Because we've dove into that connection so much in the show, I want to recap for people listening because I did some extra reading around crisis in particular. And in times of crisis, we need to take care of ourselves and nurture ourselves and be more gentle with ourselves from the inside out exponentially more because the stress that we're feeling is that much more. So what that means to me is, as someone who's in recovery from an eating disorder, as a clinician, and then just a human being trying to make it through this crisis personally and professionally as well, is that I'm going to go a little bit gentler on my system. And that means 2 things to me. It means forgiving myself if I end up eating too much or eating something that I don't normally eat, which has absolutely happened. I realized that I don't really eat sugar. It's not in, I took that out years ago because sugar to me, for my body, contributes to symptoms of depression. It can change my mood significantly. I'm really sensitive to sugar. So I pretty much eliminated it from my diet years ago, and I've been eating more of it during this time to deal with stress. I've been craving a little bit more, not crazy amounts. And so I give myself a little space and a little grace to say it's okay that you're eating a little bit extra right now. For me, though, when it starts to go the opposite way, right? So if I'm eating a little bit of sugar and it's making me feel good, then I let myself off the hook, right? But if I'm eating a lot of sugar or a lot of something and it's having the opposite effect, right? It's causing more stress and more anxiety and more depressive symptoms. Well, then that's the time where I say, you know what, let's go back to basics, which for me is fresh vegetables, complex carbohydrates, not simple carbohydrates. I really limit dairy. I only eat fish. I'm a pescatarian. I like to like vegetables, quinoa, rice, fish. Those are my staples when I need to go back to basics and I want to nurture myself. Also water. I'll show you since we're in a home studio. This is a jug of water with some electrolytes in it. If you're watching on video, if you're watching on audio, you can click over to video, but this is what I've had today. I notice for my own health, if I'm not hydrated, then my mental health absolutely decreases. If you've listened to the show before, I've talked about a lot of stats on the correlation. There was a recent article that I just read, though, talking about this crisis in particular and how food and mood goes together. And there was a doctor that did a report actually for the World Health Organization, and it was published in the New York Times. And his name was Dr. Ramsey. And he said that poor diet is absolutely a major factor contributing to the epidemic of depression that we're really having as a culture. And I just want to focus on that word because I have said for a long time that depression and anxiety and stress leading to poor health mentally and physically has really become an epidemic in our culture. I see it in my personal life. I've experienced symptoms of it, and I see it professionally too. I truly believe that this is turning into an epidemic. So the top driver of disability, and this was a new stat for me, for the ages between 15 and 44, so 15 and 44, the top driver of disability is depression. Let's take that in for a moment. That is what's causing us the most pain is depression. And Dr. Ramsey goes on to say that he believes that diet is one of the main factors for increased depression and also anxiety and can be stress. The irony of all of this, as the article talks about, is that most of us eat too many calories, right? But the calories that we're consuming don't have those critical micronutrients that actually fuel our body. He goes on to say that it's reported that only 1 in 10 adults meets the minimal daily federal recommendations for fruits and vegetables. And I had to go back and look at what I've been eating over this time of challenge and the pandemic. And I have to say my carbohydrates have increased so much and my fruits and vegetables have decreased. Usually I get most of my carbs from fruits and from quinoa, rice, corn, absolutely my biggest ones, and sweet potatoes. And I like broccoli has pretty much left my diet, my kale that I usually eat, salads. I just see myself turning away even from fruits and going more for carbs, 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 right? So that's a common thing. It goes on to say that we should have at least 1.5 to 2 cups per day of fruit and 2 to 3 cups a day of vegetables. So 2 to 3 cups a day of cups a day of vegetables and 1.5 to 2 cups a day of fruit. So those should be the basics. And I remember when I felt my best mentally and physically, that's what I started my day with, right? Is like not eating those things, but knowing I need 2 to 3 cups of vegetables and I need 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit. So I know I'm going to eat that and everything else is extra. Now, this is where the grace comes in. During this time, I've absolutely gone the opposite, like eat what I want and then try to squeeze in vegetables. But I'm going to make a commitment today with all of you and with Rachel when we talk to Rachel to recommit to setting my base of 2 to 3 cups of vegetables a day, 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit a day. And if I don't meet that, that's fine too. But I know for myself and this study that just just was reading about in the Times and how important our diet is during this time of challenge and the pandemic, just reconfirms to me that we all are missing so many vital micronutrients that can help with our depression and with our anxiety. Again, if you have an eating disorder, I'm in recovery from eating disorder, I think giving yourself grace is one of the biggest things, and letting yourself off the hook and learning to love your body and working through that is the number one priority. So this is more if you're just struggling with depression and you do not have an eating disorder. That's what we're going to be talking about more today. So I just want to put that disclaimer: if you have an eating disorder, you should be following your clinical team's advice, your therapist's advice. You should always, always check with your own health professionals, your own nutritionist. We're just talking in generalities today, but this study really opened my eyes that especially the study was talking about how important vitamin B12 is and also omega-3 fatty acids. So how much vitamin B12 are you getting? How much vitamin B are you getting? And how much omega-3 fatty acids are you getting? Because those are contributing factors to help with depression. And people that don't have enough vitamin B12 and don't are not well stocked in omega-3 fatty acids can have or be more prone to depression, is what the study was talking about. So lots of fascinating stuff that we're going to be talking about with our guest, Rachel Melinda, who's going to be joining us right after we take a quick break. So stick with us. We're helping you and walking with you through this time of crisis and challenge. And we're going to do it from the mind down to help you rise and come back to a life and mind and body and stomach and gut, since we're taking a holistic look at that today, that you absolutely love. So stick with us. We'll be right back on Well Seekers. After a long day, taking time to love yourself and your friends and your family more well can be a challenge. We're so burnt out and exhausted and stressed from working so hard during the day, we forget to love the people and the places and the things that are important to us. Well, Lucia Knight is here to help. We're going to be a retreat and a treat for your day. A place to laugh, to connect, and to learn to love yourself and others more well. We're going to talk about relationships, ways to sleep better. We'll have expert guests, personal stories, maybe even a musical guest or two. We'll share behind the scenes into my own life as well, my friends, my family, and of course, my relationships. So close the door on your day and light up your night with Lucia at Night. Also, make sure to check out more at wellseekers.com for simple and real life ways to bring wellness home. I'll see you tonight on Lucia at Night.
You're listening to Well Seekers, a show where the journey is just as important as the destination.
And we're back on Well Seekers with our guest, Rachel Melinda. Rachel is, at this point, a friend of the show. This is your third time on the show, right, Rachel?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm honored.
Yeah, no, you definitely are. This six-part series that we're doing, I actually asked back on purpose people that have been on the show a couple times, just because I feel like you're a voice of comfort at this point for people who are listening to the show and part of the Well Seekers family. So I wanted to have trusted sources, but also as we're walking with each other through this time, it's always good to hear that familiar voice.
Well, thank you. No, it's always nice to be invited back. I always get excited when I see your name pop up in my inbox. Rach, you want to come back? I'm like, let's do it.
Aw, I love that. How have you been? I know we started a talk, and I was like, no, we need to have an honest conversation with one another that everyone can hear. How have you been during this time?
Honestly, pretty good. Yeah, it's funny. We always like, this happens often in podcasting. You start catching up before, then you're like, stop talking. Like, this is good content. But yeah, so I've been doing pretty good. I mean, not a whole lot has changed for me. Like, I work from home. All of my business is online. So that life I'm very much used to. I'd say the biggest thing is, I mean, I guess like normal life in terms of like going out and that sort of thing. But what I've kind of felt and I've been reflecting on is I noticed before in my old normal life, like I would always book up my life in advance. And every week I would get to a week being like, my goals to not book up all my nights, because I would do that and then I would feel overwhelmed. Then I would cancel on everyone and feel badly about it. Mm. And so that's obviously not happening right now, because no one's really booking anything, except for actually Zoom got a little, those like all the Zoom dates got a bit crazy for a bit. So I had to put boundaries on that. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the slower pace. Of course, like it's devastating. I'm more worried about like the economy and that sort of thing, but I'm trying not to think of it. I'm just, you know, I'm plugging away. It's been a really cool opportunity for my business to listen more to what my community needs. The work that I do is in the way of intuitive eating and emotional eating and stress eating. So that's pretty rampant right now. So I really feel called to show up and serve my community right now. And a lot of cool things have come from this. So I'm just kind of riding the wave and also giving myself permission to feel all the feels. Like some days I'm like, okay, this is good. I've got this. And other days I'm like, what the heck? Like I want normal life back.
Yes. To everything you just said. It's so odd because I have been in challenging times and times of uncertainty before, and I have not handled it well. And I feel like this is such an incredible opportunity to sort of know, like you just said, I feel all the feelings, nothing's off limits, but I also haven't been turning to coping skills that aren't healthy for me. And I've really am like, oh, I'm handling this really well. And I find people coming to me now, I mean, professionally, absolutely, but even personally, just asking, you know, how do I fill in the blank? And I feel so honored to actually, and you probably feel like this too, to really believe and live my profession so that I can be of service to other people during this time. It's just, it's such an honor to be of service to other people. And I only feel like I could be here, yes, because of my professional training, but truly fully all in and here of service because of my personal experience not doing situations like this well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I think, again, like we're being called to go in like different directions, and I'm listening to my community more than ever. And it's also like the first time where like everyone in the world is going through the same thing. And so we can really relate and understand each other. And I don't try to lie and be like, I have all the answers. Like no one has the guidebook of how to go through this.
Totally.
I'm just listening to what people need and sharing the skills that I have and making them as accessible as possible. And yeah, I mentioned like a lot of cool things have come out of this. And one of those things are these quarantine dance parties that I've started.
I was going to say, tell us what your community has said they wanted and what you're doing. I follow you. I haven't seen these.
You've seen them?
No, I haven't. And I'm wondering why. Oh. I mean, you probably see me. I like your posts, but so do hundreds of other people. So maybe you don't. But I haven't seen the quarantine dance party. No.
Interesting. I got to amp up the marketing even more then. But yeah, so these dance parties, like they basically started because I mean, I love music. I love dancing and I don't really know how to dance properly. Quote unquote properly. You don't need to know how to dance properly.
Is there a properly? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
No. I just kind of like move like a hooligan. I call it like intuitive movement. Like we all have that sort of current that runs through us. We just have to trust our bodies and stop caring what it looks like. So anyways, I would, for years, I've been popping on Instagram stories and I'll just like throw on a tune and I'll just like dance when I'm feeling it. And so I've been doing that forever. But at the beginning of when this pandemic hit, I did that. And I remember it was a Saturday, like when everything was like kind of crumbling and everyone's like, what's happening? And my way of coping is dancing and moving through those emotions. And so people saw that and they were like, oh my God, thank you. Like I needed this like breath of fresh air in my feed. Like there's just so much fear there right now. And this totally brightened my day. And I was like, interesting. And I was like, you know what? I was like, maybe we should have like a virtual dance party. So I was like, okay, everyone, Monday, Instagram Live, let's dance together. And I made a playlist and just danced with people and just, I instructed them in a way of like, do what feels good to you. Doesn't matter what it looks like. And so it's become a thing. We're doing it 3 times a week. Sometimes I theme them. I'll do like body confidence building ones where we like dance around in our bra and underwear, just make really fun playlists. And it's really brought the community together. And we're doing one today. The time we're recording on a Friday. So on Fridays, I like to do the dance and then like a happy hour drink after. So it's just really fun and it makes this whole experience feel like less isolating, less alone. And it's more than dance too. Like I know some people are like, oh, your little dance things look so cute. I'm like, they're cute, but they're also really effective. Yeah. And what I'm doing here is we're boosting our mental health, and which is huge right now. We're moving our bodies. Like I know like my movement regime has been impacted by being confined to the home. Like, yes, I'm going out for walks, but it's not really the same. And so
different.
Yeah.
I'm a huge proponent of mental health and exercise, movement. And yes, that can be walks, but for me, mine has been totally just turned on its head. I'm probably moving a fourth of what I usually move.
Yeah. And I think we're all feeling that. And so I think any way that you can get moving and get a little sweat in, like it just like get those endorphins flowing, get the blood flowing. Like it just like, it's such a game changer. And I say to people, I'm like, you will feel like a different person 20 minutes into our dance party than you did when you started.
We'll have to link to your dance party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
is it on your website as well?
No, I should do that.
Okay. I was going to say, if it's on your website, I'll link to it.
I update my Instagram bio every week. So the dance schedule is there. So you can link to my Instagram bio link.
Okay, perfect. And I'll join one of your dance parties. Yay! That'd be so fun.
Awesome.
That'd be so fun. So Rachel, you talked about one thing that before you came on, we were doing an introduction just about what you were going to be talking about. And all of the stress eating, of course, is something that affects people during this time. I'd love to hear about your own experience with it and maybe share some of mine. But what we were talking about is that link between mental health and food. And would love to hear you share about that and how it plays a part right now currently, and some of the things that you tell yourself around food right now.
Yeah. So the thing to understand about emotional eating and stress eating, first and foremost, is that it's not a bad thing. And it's been made out to be this big, bad thing because of course people associate it with feeling out of control. And of course there's this fear of like weight gain. Oh, if I eat too much and feel out of control, then I'm going to gain weight. But if you look at emotional eating is simply a coping mechanism. It's simply the most socially acceptable way we've been taught to cope with uncomfortable emotions and situations from a very young age. If you cried as a kid, you were likely handed a lollipop or food to soothe your emotions. And so now in a time of a pandemic, something that most of us have not lived through before, we are turning to food probably more than ever. Many people are. And so if we just look at it as that, a coping mechanism, we can actually understand a lot from it and prevent us from like spiraling down this rabbit hole. And what I mean, this spiral that happens is like typically the emotional eating event happens, we overeat, and maybe we're like, oh, well, we already like screwed up the day. Like I'm already like my eating's quote unquote bad for the day. So I'm just going to keep going and I'll start fresh tomorrow. And so you typically overeat, you typically feel physically uncomfortable, and then you make a plan to like start fresh tomorrow, which may come from like a restrictive way. You'll say like, oh, I'm not going to have carbs here and that sort of thing. But that restrictive nature actually fuels, say, binge eating, or like emotional eating might happen again. So that just kind of keeps happening. Whereas if we can intervene the emotional eating event and like, say it happens, if we can look at that and say, okay, that happened. That's interesting that I felt the need to turn to food in that moment. I wonder why I felt the need to turn to food. Because again, it's a coping mechanism. So if we can get to the root of like, what is actually at the root of it? What is actually driving it? What I'm hearing a lot from my community right now is like a lot of people are working from home for the first time. And that's a whole new situation. They are like next to their kitchen cupboards. They're watching their news feeds all day. They're feeling stress. Okay, so there's stress there. Okay, so how can we work on that? Maybe they're feeling a bit bored. Some people that got laid off of their jobs, like they are really missing that structure and maybe feeling a bit worried about what the future holds. And so naturally, again, we're going to turn to food. So the more we can use it and approach emotional eating from the standpoint of curiosity, we can actually understand what's at the root of this and what is the need that needs to be met here that isn't currently.
I work from home somewhat, but not as much as I am now. So I feel like I've sort of have a pattern, but the stress is what the uncertainty and feeling like, okay, I don't really, this is odd. Like I'm forced to be at home as opposed to choosing to be at home. Even that shift, right? Like people aren't working from home. We're home ordered to be there working during a pandemic, right? So it's not just like, oh, how do I work from home? It's like, how do I deal with a global pandemic while accomplishing the basic things that I was supposed to be accomplishing, or while being laid off and looking for work or being worried that it's not going to return, right? So this is a global stress everyone's feeling. And what I like to say is I try to give myself grace and space during this time, to grace that like if I eat something that I don't normally eat, then it's okay, right? And space in to feel the feelings that I need to feel and to learn the lessons that I need to learn from what I did eat. So Rachel, while people are going through this time, do you have any guidelines or thoughts or wisdom that you can share with everyone on how to manage emotional eating so that it doesn't make people more depressed, right? If they use food as a tool.
Yeah. I think first and foremost, like, be so compassionate with yourself, be so gentle with yourself. Again, none of us have walked this road in this life before. We don't know how to rock a pandemic and be perfect humans. No one knows how to be a perfect human. Doesn't exist. One phrase that I like to share with my clients is compassion and curiosity over criticism. So if you can remember that, so first be compassionate with yourself. If you happen to overeat or emotional eat, just recognize like what's done is done and what is, and, approach that with curiosity again. So get curious, where did that urge to emotionally eat come from? And maybe you can reflect on like what happened an hour before, what happened earlier in the day, what happened yesterday? Did you just scroll through your newsfeed? Did you see something that really upset you? Get curious what triggered that and choose those things, compassion and curiosity, over criticism, because criticism is often where we naturally go. It's our natural inclination to like beat ourselves up because we're taught that if we're harder on ourselves and put in a strict plan, then we're going to follow it and we'll get our act together. But I think any of us can just reflect on our previous experience in doing that to know that that doesn't work. You can't build positive things and build good things by breaking yourself down. So I would say start with that. And then again, another tool to become aware of like what need isn't being met is to ask yourself, like, am I actually hungry right now? So if you're able to intervene that emotional eating moment before you reach for the cupboard or the fridge, if you can ask yourself, am I actually hungry right now? And you can also ask yourself, like, would I eat an apple? And if you wouldn't, then maybe you aren't super hungry. Because the thing is, hunger doesn't discriminate. Like, if you're hungry, you're going to eat. And so am I actually hungry right now? And if I'm not, what other need might I be trying to fill? Do I need some self-care? Do I need some stress relief? Do I need socialization? Do I need to set up a Zoom call with my girlfriends? Get curious about that. And that will help you to break things down and understand what needs aren't being met.
I love that. I think the understanding that we're all in this together, and you are not the only person using food. I don't know one person I've talked to, male or female, that hasn't said my eating has changed, my pattern of eating has changed. So knowing that you're not alone in this is huge for me to know. Okay, everyone is experiencing this change in dietary patterns as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Before you came on, we were talking about an article that was in the New York Times here where there was a doctor and scientist talking about how lack of micronutrients in the American diet, anyway, because Rachel's calling in from Canada, but in the American diet is one of the leading causes of depression, and how depression is really an epidemic in our country right now. I know that you don't necessarily prescribe or to food plans, which I don't either because I'm in recovery from an eating disorder, but are there any micronutrients that you sort of aim for in your own diet, or things that you, like I used to say, like, okay, veggies first, I'm going to eat, you know, 3 cups of vegetables a day and like 2 fruits. And now I'm just sort of like, whatever I eat today is what I eat today. But in general, are there micronutrients that you love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't really think of, I mean, okay. Nutritionist Rach maybe 3 years ago when I started practicing would be like, yes, make sure that you're getting these probiotics here from these foods and these micronutrients here.
Yeah.
I don't approach food in that way anymore. Like definitely I could be more specific and say, eat these foods. I guess I could still say that. So like fermented foods, sauerkraut, kimchi, tempeh, kombucha, all these are fermented foods that help to proliferate good bacteria in the gut. And a lot of people don't know that many of our neurotransmitters, specifically dopamine and serotonin, these feel-good neurotransmitters, are produced in the gut. So the more that we can nourish the gut, the more we are supporting our mental health. Mm-hmm. However, all of that information is super helpful. But again, I just really pay attention to like how foods make me feel. So I'm an intuitive eater. I wake up and eat the foods that I feel drawn to. And typically I do crave healthy foods. That's just like my makeup. Like I love vegetables. I definitely thrive on like higher protein, higher fat, moderate carbs. But then there's days where, typically every day, like I have a bit of chocolate every day, or sometimes I'll have chips.
Totally.
But I notice, I don't feel guilt for eating those foods anymore. But I notice if I have more of those foods, I do notice the impact it has on my mood. So I don't need to say, oh, Rach, you better like tighten up on that. I'm just like, I do that check-in with my body. Okay, body, like, what's going on right now? And when what do you need, right? So maybe I'll cool it on the coffee and go for like a nice, like relaxing tea, an herbal tea instead of like stimulating my system, right? Maybe I'll go for more of a, again, that high protein breakfast rather than the more carby breakfast. And then again, that's not to say carbs are bad. It's just like getting to know your body and what it thrives off of, right? I think that's really important. And listening to what that looks like for you, because it's going to be different from one person to the next.
I couldn't have thought of a better answer. It's perfect. Yeah. Because there's just so many, there's vegetables I can't eat that I've heard nutritionists say, well, you need this from this, you know, get this nutrient from this vegetable. There's vegetables that my body cannot tolerate, right? So every body is different. So just listening to your body and letting it lead you. And mine has never led me wrong when I listen to it. So
Yeah, absolutely.
Rachel, before we let you go, anything else you want to say or share? And can you give everyone your social media? We'll have links in this as well.
Yeah, I just, again, just like be so compassionate with yourself right now. Like I think feel what you need to feel and do what you need to do to feel through those emotions. The other day I was like, I need to scream into a pillow. So I did that and just like giving it, not judging yourself for it and just doing what feels good. Reach out to people for help if you need it and don't be afraid to do that again. Like this is probably the first time ever where we're all going through the same thing. And so there's all of a sudden this automatic compassion that we have for each other because we get it. We know what each other are going through. So be gentle with yourself, take care of yourself, get some good sleep and try to have some fun while you're at it. Release the pressure of being productive and just, yeah, intuitively do what feels good for you. And if you do want to join a quarantine dance party.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And go to her dance party.
Yeah, come to my dance party. If you want to come to a quarantine dance party, you get more tips and strategies on emotional eating, stress eating, body image, the whole bit. You can follow me at Rachel M. Melinda on Instagram. My website's rachelmmelinda.com. And I have a podcast too, the Flare Cup Podcast. And so we release a new episode every Sunday night. So you can also tune into that.
Awesome. Rachel Melinda, thanks so much for joining us again on Well Seekers. And so glad that you're well and safe and hope you'll come back soon.
Thanks again for having me. It's always a blast.
We'll be right back on Well Seekers.
Today's lifestyle demands the best in wireless, and with Pulse Cellular, you have the best options available. Switch to Pulse Cellular for unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data, coast-to-coast with no contracts, no credit checks, and no overage fees. One line for $65, or four lines for just $45 each, including hotspot, Wi-Fi calling, and 50 gigs per line. And for all you travelers, we got you covered in Canada and Mexico. Plus, text and data in over 210 countries worldwide, all with the best phones or bring your own. That's pretty awesome. Get the best user experience on mobile at pulsecellular.com.
Thanks for being part of the Seekerhood. We couldn't do this without you. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Well Seekers. Thanks so much to Rachel Melinda for joining us and for just always such an informative and fun conversation. So before we let you go, there's a few things that I just wanted to say. We really, truly, if you are have any questions, obviously your own therapist, this is not a substitute for therapy, but if you do have any questions or you have any ideas of things that you may want some support around or want to learn about, absolutely connect with us. We're on all social media platforms at Well Seekers. So on Twitter at Well Seekers, Instagram at Well Seekers, Facebook at Well Seekers. And you can find me on Instagram at Lucia Naz and on Twitter at Lucia Nazaro and Facebook at Lucia's page. So reach out, stay in touch. You can also email us hello@wellseekers.com. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, hit subscribe. You'll know when the latest episode launches. We have so many more episodes in this series helping you cope with this challenging time specifically. So, and also on our website, you'll find a handful of tools that I have found, used, and just love. And also, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but our course, Coping Through Crisis, a self-paced guide to help you reduce stress and anxiety and elevate your mood during this challenging time, but really any challenging time. So make sure to check that out. Before I go, I just want to talk about what I'm using right now. I'm going to be doing more something that I call the mental health kitchen we're giving you ideas since we're talking about food today. So look out for that. But in the meantime, something I've been doing a ton of is adult coloring. If you go on to wellseekers.com, there's a link to Amazon to really cheap adult coloring sheets and books, a couple of them. So if you don't have that, you can just go on the site and check it out. But I have this, I should have brought it downstairs, this huge picture that I've been coloring, and it has been incredible. Just so much fun to do. And I've talked about the benefits before, but there's been something about like just taking a couple minutes a day to color that has absolutely helped me with meditation and peace and centering. So if you're looking for something to do that and you don't want to just meditate in general, I cannot advocate enough for how adult coloring has just helped my days become better and elevate my mood. So check that out. There's tons of links on wellseekers.com. Also, if there's something you're doing and you want to share, let us know on social media, or again, reach out hello@wellseekers.com because I'd love to hear and share your ideas. Also, if there's a story or something powerful that's happened to you during this time, again, reach out because we just want to hear and share all the good stuff going on in this world, especially around this time. From all of us here at Well Seekers, we're so honored to be with you, and I can't thank you enough for what you add to my life. Thank you for being a part of my family, and thank you for letting me be a part of yours. I am eternally grateful and honored to be a small part of your life and to be able to share and be on this journey with you. So thanks for walking with me, and thanks for letting me walk with you. Until next time, we'll talk to you real soon on Well Seekers.
How would you like to join the conversation? Email us anytime at hello@wellseekers.com.